Good morning, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the Outdoor Connection. If you need a good pair of optics, and optics covers just about anything you can do in the outdoors, whether you're bird watching, you know, hunting, fishing. I use binoculars on the boat because I'm trying to spot where the gulls are diving and see where I can get to. But my guest this morning is Nathan Browski, and he is with Maven Optics. And good morning, sir. How you doing?
Good morning, Rick. I'm doing well.
Did I get your last name pronounced right? If I'd not, I'm sorry.
It was close. You know, I've got one of those tricky Polish last names, so I've actually had people tell me I don't even say it the same way twice in a row.
that's bad, man. Oh, well, first off, I've mentioned it a couple times this morning when we gave a preview for the show in our earlier Mugs in the Morning, and then just now, Maven Optics. What makes Maven Optics different than anybody else out there selling binoculars and rifle scopes and rangefinders, spotting scopes? What makes them bigger, better, and worth going to get?
Yeah, it's a great question, you know, because there are so many brands and options out there when it comes to optics, but we think there's definitely a few key factors that really make Maven different from some of the other brands out there. And the main one is their direct-to-consumer business model, and that really allows them to do a few things. First off, anytime a brand is direct-to-consumer, they're not putting products in a retail store, which prevents a retail markup. So anytime a brand wants to put a binocular in, say, a Cabela's or a big box store, the price on that item gets raised so that retail store can take a cut of the profits.
All right.
So with Maven, cutting out that middleman, they cut out that markup on the price. So they're able to offer things at a lower price. We typically say it's about 2/3 of the price of what some other competitors can do when they're putting stuff in a retail store.
For a comparable unit. About 2/3 is pretty good. I'll take that savings.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. But probably the biggest benefit, and one that doesn't always get communicated or doesn't always get understood, is a lot of times these brands or optic manufacturers will work with their retail partners to say, we need an optic at a $500 price tag. So then in order to do that, the manufacturer is kind of limited on the components they can use to build that optic. So they'll say, okay, retail price needs to be $500. That means we can only spend $300 to make this item. So then they're limiting themselves to the quality of components that they can use. Mm-hmm. With Maven, they're setting their own prices. They're setting their own margins, profit margins. So when they create a product, they attack it in the base of, let's use the best components possible that we can, and we'll figure out the price later. So they're really able to build with just better components, better prisms, better glass, better coatings, and then they're able to figure out the price after the fact. So that's one thing that we really feel like sets Maven apart, is building to make the best item possible.
We're going to talk about that a little bit more, but first off, one of the things that initially caught my eye with Maven Optics was where you're headquartered. Tell us about that.
It's a team, a very small team out of Lander, Wyoming. Just actually opened up a new world headquarters. So they were founded in 2014 with just one binocular, and has grown from there to offer multiple ranges of binoculars. There's two different series. The B series is the premium line, and then anything with a C series is kind of their mid-level line. And from one binocular, it's now grown to binoculars, spotting scopes, rifle scopes, range finders. There's a monocular. So, you know, the brand since 2014 has really grown to a point to where, you know, kind of jumped around a couple of small buildings that were available in Lander to building a new world headquarters that just opened up last month.
I think we need to do a road trip.
it's a beautiful building, and Lander is a beautiful town. You can definitely see why an optics company want to be located there. And also, I mean, an optics company out of Wyoming. If there's anybody that knows good glass and the importance of optics, it's folks in Wyoming.
Exactly. I mean, there's some wide open country to scout out there. So
there is some wide open country out there. I know I've been fortunate enough to go on a few pronghorn hunts out in Wyoming. You know, and coming from Nebraska, we have pretty open ground out here, you know, where I grew up. But those Wyoming guys that I hunted with were, you know, 500 and 600 yard shots were the normal to them. So they know the importance of good glass.
That's not normal to most people.
We're not all experienced sharpshooters like you are, Mr. Windham.
Now, you mentioned the company started and they had one pair of binoculars to offer. What was that one? Can you have a little history on that?
Yeah, so it all started with the B1 binocular. And their naming system for their products is pretty simple, which makes it really easy to understand, is B1, binocular 1, that was their first product. And then B2 was their second binocular, B3 is their third binocular, so they just kind of go down the line in that matter. So B1, I still use one of the original B1s. It was a great optic, 42mm objective. You could get it in 10x or 12n, so 10 magnification or 12 magnification. They're just a really great optic. Since then, they've actually enhanced that one and came out with a B1.2. And again, this kind of goes back to their direct-to-consumer business model. They found new components that they could put inside of that optic to make it smaller and perform better. They've got a smaller prism that they found that actually lets more light in. So they said, if there's an opportunity to make this thing better, we've got to do it. So a couple of years ago, they came out with the B1.2. And despite the fact that it performed better and was in a more compact package, they offered it at the exact same price as the original B1. Which, again, is a benefit of that direct-to-consumer business model.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Now, we'll continue.
So it's a great – I usually run the 10x42, and I absolutely love that thing.
Let's continue talking about binoculars here for a moment. That's kind of your – I guess that's kind of your home base as far as the company goes. That's where they started, and everybody likes those. But you mentioned earlier the glass and the prisms and stuff like that. How critical is that and the coatings that are on it to having a quality product as an end result?
It's a very key component to having a quality performing optic. You know, the coatings are going to make sure that you're not getting fogged up. You're not getting moisture on it. So especially in those low light situations, early morning when dew is going on, or if you're in the tree stand and you've got your binocular kind of tight against your body where it's warm, and then you bring it out into the exposed air that's, you know, it's 20 degrees and there's moisture in the air, those are going to fog up and you're going to lose your opportunity.
Yeah, been there, done that.
Yeah, I think we all, you know, you take it out of the nice warm truck and then go out, you know, right as the sun's coming up, you get out and start making your walk, and all of a sudden it's exposed to the cold. You know, it's in those low light situations that can make them break a deer hunt in a hurry. So the coatings are definitely very important. The quality of the glass, how much light transmission. There's just so many important details when it comes to an optical solution. And again, Maven goes out and tries to find all of the best components it can to make sure the performance is there when you need it the most. Typically in hunting situations and even birding situations, a lot of times it's in those low light conditions.
Yes, it is. And particularly as you get older and you know, older guys suffer from diminished eyesight and we all have to go through it. I like the higher magnification and the better light gathering capabilities. And
yes,
it does make a great difference. We got to take a quick commercial break, Nate, but when we come back, the question I want to start off with is, how do you determine what binocular is right for you? So with that, folks, stay with us. We'll be right back after these messages. Welcome back, everybody. We're talking with Nathan Borowski, and I probably said it differently this time, but Pardon me, Nate, I'm trying.
Hey, that's like I said, it's tough to say it the same way more than once in a row.
Anyway, when we left, my question was, how do you pick a binocular? You're standing there and, you know, even in your catalog, I'm looking at this thing and there's all these different models and magnifications and all that. How do you determine what's right for you?
Yeah, I think it all starts with what you intend on using the bino for. You know, we talked about Lander, Maven's based out of Lander, Wyoming. Guys in Wyoming, like we talked about, it's open country. You need to see a little further, so you might want a larger objective. If you're planning on hunting a heavily wooded area, if you've got a lease right there on the Platte River and it's thick timber and you sit in tree stands a lot of the time, you probably don't need an objective quite as big, so you can get away with something a little smaller. I know we've been on a couple turkey hunts together, Rick.
And yep.
I'm still to the point where my style of turkey hunting, I like to run and gun a little bit. I am slowing down as I get a little older, and I'm a little more willing to sit the blind or sit under a tree, but I still like to run and gun a little bit. So when I turkey hunt, I'll typically go with the smaller objective, just because it's lighter, and when you're turkey hunting, you don't need to see as far. You know, you're not planning on taking a 300 to a 400 yard shot like you would be with deer hunting. So really it all kind of starts with what you intend on using the optic for. If you're going to be in a wide open country and you need to be able to see far and pick out, is that the buck I'm going after? A larger objective lens is going to be probably the best way to go. If you're in thick country or you're not needing to see nearly as far, you might as well go lighter and get that smaller objective lens.
I should mention for those listening that also read my column. If you remember a few weeks back, the story about the guy that was almost jumped by the gobbler and spurred, you know, we're talking couple feet at the end. This is the guy.
That was a hunt where binoculars were not needed very much.
I've tried to get a hold of Joe a couple times from Peterson's Hunting. He was with you, and get his take on the story, but I haven't seen him pick up my email yet, so hopefully I can hear the other side.
I'll have to give him a nudge, but that was definitely a fun hunt, and one where smaller binos got me by on that one. But and then once you really pick out that objective size that you want, then going with the right magnification, that's another one people always ask, well, what magnification should I get? And to my personal preference is I always kind of bring it down to field of view. So a smaller magnification will have a wider field of view.
Right.
So again, where I don't take very far shots, I go for a wider magnification. As I'm glassing, it helps me find the animal that I'm after. I can get a good idea of, you know, is that a buck? Is that a doe? Is that a tom? Is that a hen? Okay, now I'll go get closer so I can get a better look at it. Whereas if you're a deer hunter or a sharpshooter like yourself and you want that larger magnification so you can zoom in and get a good sight of it and say, okay, that's the one, then you go ahead and get that larger magnification to go with that larger objective lens. So it's kind of it's a give and take when it comes to magnifications and objective lenses.
One thing I noticed in your catalog that Maven does, and I've not seen it with any other company, is if you order one, there are a bunch of options. You can have it basically custom built for you. Are you the only
Yes.
one that does that?
We haven't seen a lot of other brands doing it, and especially to the level that Maven does. So the premium lines, if you remember I mentioned earlier, there's a premium line in every one of Maven's optic series. That means there's the premium rifle scopes, and then there's a mid-level line of rifle scopes. And same with spotting scopes, binoculars, and even the rangefinders. So the premium lines of most product categories, so the spotting scopes, rifle scopes, and the binoculars, you can get on Maven's website and fully customize them. And the options are, there's, you know, by the time you change the color of certain accent colors, a change to the body armor, or you can add engravings. I mean, there's thousands of possibilities for customizing these things.
It's pretty impressive when you read through it.
It really is, yeah. So you can change the color of the body armor. There's a couple of camo patterns you can put on there. First Light is one of them. So you can really, and then, I mean, the focus wheels, you can change the colors on those, other accents, colors, engravings. It's really fun to get in there and play around. I've customized a few pairs, and I think they look great. And it's also, it makes great gift guide items. You know, hint, hint, Father's Day is coming up.
Spoken like a true salesman. Nice touch. <It's, laughs> you're right, because that's what, the 18th of June? So
it is. It's sneaking up on us. It might be a little late to get a custom in time. It's pretty fast turnaround on those, considering the level of customization. But it's pretty fun to get in there and play around with it.
You know, we were talking off air, you know, getting ready for the show, and I said, you know, there's so much to cover. We're going to have to get you back on the show sometime. And, you know, we're almost out of time now, so we've only covered half of what I wanted. Give them the website. Where can they go to find Maven products?
Yeah, so it's mavenbuilt.com, and it's a great resource. You can shop the entire product line, but then if you look at the Explore tab on the website, it gives a lot of information. It gives you information about the brand. It gives you, there's an optics 101 section that really touches on a lot of the things we talked about today, on what objective size means and what magnification means and kind of the give and take on those, what the different prisms are that are available in the binoculars.
Right.
And it can get really in depth on really the benefits of all of the components and factors that go into all of the optics. And then take a look at the Maven Journal if you visit the website, and there's a lot of helpful articles on there, use case scenarios. There's some guidelines on how to pick the best bino for what you're wanting to use it for. There's a lot of great resources on the website. Play around in the custom shop. And then the accessories, too, are one thing we like to mention. So I use a Maven rifle scope, the RS1, which we didn't even really get to a chance to get in the rifle scopes.
No, but I got one question I'm going to ask you about those.
Yep. I have a custom turret. You can actually get on their website and order a custom turret for your rifle based on the ammo that you're shooting, your elevation. And then with that custom turret, I'm able to just dial shots as necessary. So definitely a lot of great accessories on there.
I have looked at that quite a bit, and we may be talking because I got a 300 Win Mag I've built up into it's becoming my, it'll be my standard 600 to 1,000 yard rifle.
Well, we can talk about that, and then you can teach me how I can make shots that far.
Okay, we can do that. The one question I did have related to the rifle scopes, and like I said, we're going to have you back for the spotting scopes and the range finders and all like that, but the rifle scopes, I see that you make, Maven makes them with first and second focal plane. What is the difference and or advantages for that?
Yeah, so they definitely want to, that's one thing about Maven's product lineup, if you take a look at it. They have a goal of offering something for everybody's needs. So whether you're a hunter, a birder, you take long shots, you take close shots, they don't make a product just to make it and just to add something to the catalog. They make a product to serve a purpose and to fill a gap in their product offering. So with that in mind, they wanted to offer both first and second focal plane scopes. A first focal plane, the reticle enlarges and shrinks as you adjust the magnification.
Right.
So your holdovers on your reticle will stay true. Especially with the long-range shooters, they love that. It kind of saves some of the calculation as you're trying to take a long-range shot. It's a great option for, that's what I use for hunting. The second focal plane, the reticle stays the same size. So as you adjust the magnification, the reticle doesn't get smaller or larger. So then it's easier to see. But the first focal plane, if you zoom all the way in on your magnification, that reticle will get smaller, and then it's, you know, more difficult to see. So again, it's one of those things where it's a give and take. A lot of people grew up on second focal plane. It's kind of a good entry reticle. So that's something that some folks are just comfortable with, and that's what they prefer. Or with the second focal plane, you're kind of able to build a lighter and smaller scope a lot of the times. So the RS2 is a great example of a rifle scope that's really compact, really lightweight. We have a lot of mountain hunters that with their lightweight rifle scopes, they're willing to go second focal plane to get that lighter and more compact scope on there.
Very good. We're out of time, partner. Definitely you have an invitation to come back, and good luck in the rest of your season. I know turkey season's over, but deer season's not that far away.
It's time to get out the trail cameras and start getting ready for deer season. So,
you bet.
Maybe catch up on a little bit of sleep from turkey season in the meantime as well.
Okay. Nate, thanks a lot, and you have a great weekend. Folks, that's it for another edition of the Outdoor Connection. See you next week.